love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam, hands-free, from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new episode of your favourite Formula One show, episode 136 of Knowing Wheel. And we're back this weekend to preview the Japanese Grand Prix. Of course, as always, I'm joined by the beautiful specimen that is JB183. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm very good. I'm flattered by your description of me there, but it's before 9 o'clock, so I'm not sure how true it is.
Hey, I'm still very, very tired. And for those of you that obviously watch the show quite regularly, you'll remember a few weeks ago, I had a nice swollen face from my wisdom tooth coming through. We're back again with swollen 212, which now I say it out loud doesn't sound like a particularly good game. But we move.
He's been hitting the gym a lot recently.
So. I really have, yes. Swole 212. But of course, we've actually got a few things to go through for the Japanese Grand Prix, haven't we, Jamie? Quite surprised with our busy little news week.
Yes, indeed. And there was a bit of fairly big news yesterday as we record this of McLaren making moves for one of their drivers, Oscar Piastri, who was not out of contract this year, but he was only as far as 2024, wasn't he?
Yes.
And they've extended it by 2 years with an option for more, which is a big commitment. And I quite rate it, because obviously we speak highly of Piastri a lot of the time. And he's been doing really, really well this year. So, yeah, I think it's good for McLaren, good for Piastri. And obviously, as always, it was a very low-key contract renewal for Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, I mean, he just does everything out in one tweet, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And unlike last year, it was a lot. Wait, has he been in F1 2 years? No.
This is his first season still, Jamie. Don't worry.
Wow, he's in class. Fair play.
Yeah, this is what we've said, isn't it? He just gets in a new car and is rapid.
You just forget he's a rookie completely.
He's so,
But yeah, unlike last year, it wasn't a massive fallout with Alpine. So that worked out all right. But he did mug him off a bit in this one tweet he did.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it, with Oscar Piastri. Again, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. You forget he's a rookie. Like, he just seems to... And this is obviously what he's done throughout his junior career as well, isn't it? Of he just moves into a new series or into a new car and adapts. And in Formula One, where constantly, obviously, things are changing, you can't really get a much better driver than one that's adaptable, can you?
No. And, like, I guess adaptability is really, really important, breaking into the grid. I guess you could argue once you're at the sharp end and you're settled in a team, you need that cutting edge, which maybe, so for instance, Verstappen and Hamilton don't really need to be adaptable anymore. Obviously they will be, but because they're very, very settled in their teams, they just need to be rapid and build their team around them. But for now, Piastri, definitely needs to be very adaptable.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it shows McLaren's long-term intent as well, doesn't it? Because you mentioned there, fantastic for Oscar, fantastic for McLaren. I think the only person that loses out on this, and it's not really losing out either, is of course Lando Norris. You know, we spoke about it before this year, but is he having to start looking over his shoulder, or are we starting to see McLaren get a bit worried that they might lose one of their drivers and don't want to end up in an Alpine situation?
Yeah, potentially. I do think, it's kind of been the worst kept secret for a while that Red Bull are sniffing around Norris. Kind of all the time, really. So, and that move for Red Bull to take Norris, it kind of makes sense for the driver and for Red Bull. The only person who maybe wouldn't be best, like, it's a bit of a, like, a centre prof potentially, because I do think both those drivers are really good. Obviously, hard to say, Norris has never won a race before, but I do think they would maybe not clash, but I don't think they'd be perfect teammates, for instance, as he'd argue that Perez has been, or Bottas was for Lewis, and that kind of thing. I don't think Norris would be for Max, or Max for Norris, if Norris came in and did it better.
Well, Norris, hasn't been a number two since, what, 2021?
No, 2020, really.
Was it Sainz? No, Ferrari. Sainz was still really the number one at McLaren, wasn't he?
In 2020, yeah, but 2021, Ricciardo came in.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think he'd go, he'd happily go back to that. So I guess he'd want assurance that they would be on at least equal footing, and then both drivers can have a chance of battling for the wins if the car is capable. And yeah, I think McLaren needs to kind of future-proof against that. So locking down Piastri for a long time makes perfect sense, really.
Well, yeah, I think McLaren, of course, have been quite wise as well, obviously from a financial standpoint. You know, because don't get me wrong, to be able to lock Lando into a long-term deal like that, you've got to be paying him a lot of money. Because, of course, you know, he is one of Formula One's hottest properties. And, you know, if McLaren, you know, this year, of course, they've kind of kicked on quite well more recently. But, of course, you know, bigger picture, you know, they haven't really delivered cars that are worthy of his talents in recent years. So, of course, they've got to be paying him pretty well to have him sticking around and, you know, willing to sign that kind of deal. But, of course, it also means, you know, if a Red Bull comes sniffing around, you know, they're going to have to pay McLaren a lot of money to get him out of that deal. And, you know, Oscar Piastri, I certainly feel, has absolutely got the same, if not more, potential than Lando Norris. You know, I'm sure there's, you know, going to be a situation before 2026 where other teams are sniffing around for him. And, again, McLaren could be in for a very good payday if someone decides to pull the trigger.
Yeah, definitely. And you kind of... Like, obviously, McLaren are an ambitious team. They want to be at the front, but reasonably, they haven't delivered a car capable of winning races consistently in over 10 years. So, yeah, I do think with the rate of, like, the rate they're bringing out these rookies who are just excellent, then it's almost fair to the drivers to put them in a car they deserve.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you, obviously, you hit the nail on the head. I would argue that this year's McLaren car is probably the best they've built since they were winning races regularly. Obviously, all the way back in 2012.
It's probably the closest to the front, for sure, on a consistent basis, especially since, obviously, Austria. And then Norris had another upgrade in Singapore, which Piastri will get this weekend too. So, yeah. Yeah, their rate of development this year has been unreal, because they were literally second slowest team in Bahrain, weren't they?
Well, they were slowest by Miami, weren't they? Because even Williams had moved on.
Yeah, yeah. So if they can keep that trajectory, obviously there's no silver bullets in F1, and the faster you go, the harder it is to find any more time. But they could... Could they win a race between now and the end of the season?
I think that completely depends on what Red Bull are doing. You know, yeah, if Singapore probably. Is... don't get me wrong, I think Singapore was always going to be one of Red Bull's worst tracks of the year. But if that car now is just fighting at the front rather than dominating at the front, I see an in for either Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri. If we get a crazy race between the end of the season, I see an in for Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri. What worries me more... He's a bit like Ricciardo. I can see Oscar getting a win before Lando does.
Maybe. I think that wouldn't go down very well in the Norris camp.
I don't think it would. And it would have to be quite odd circumstances for it to happen, in the same way that 2021 was for Daniel Ricciardo. Yeah. But of course...
No, it wasn't that odd. Ricciardo did just outpace
him. No, Ricciardo was quick that weekend, but the fact it was the one weekend that year where Ricciardo, one of the only weekends that year where Ricciardo was up to pace... and of course, you know, then everything happened in front of them. But, you know, we've already seen it a couple of times this year. You know, I think there probably is a written deal that obviously we don't know about. You know, the amount of times Lando's been given favourable strategies and that kind of thing as well. You know, Hungary was a fantastic example of that. I think it wasn't Singapore, was it? Monza, again, was another example of that. Where obviously Lando was given... a better, you know, was given the undercut despite the fact he was behind. You know, it doesn't seem like Oscar's had even the option on those occasions. It still obviously is Lando Norris is that number one within the team. But yeah, I don't know why, but I just feel like there's this vision. And it's not based on anything, you know, this is knowing wheel, not knowing
gut instinct.
rocks or something like that. That Oscar Piastri might just get that win before Lando Norris does.
Potentially. And yeah, I was just going to a little mention to just how consistently good McLaren's rookies are all the time. I saw a tweet about this. It's like, other than Stoffel Van Dorn, arguably, but even then he's had a good career in other sports. So But you've got, obviously, Piastri, Norris. Before that, if you ignore Van Dorn, was Magnussen, who's had a very long career in F1. And then, before that, Lewis Hamilton, who apparently did all right. So
yeah, what's he doing around nowadays?
Yeah, not sure, really. Only finishing third every so often. So, but yeah, they're brave enough to put rookies in when they feel they're ready. And more often than not, it seems to work out. So fair play.
Yeah, it really does seem like most of the time they swim, don't they? Because, I mean, even Kevin Magnussen, of course, podium on debut back in 2014. And had they not been able to re-sign Fernando Alonso, you know, he was going to keep that seat as well, wasn't he, at McLaren?
Yeah, which is interesting. And he would have had a great time in 2015.
Exactly. But it's interesting to think, you know, where his trajectory could have gone had he been kept on by McLaren, or had Button decided to give up instead.
Potentially, yeah. Magnussen's an interesting one. He's just been kind of here for a while, hasn't he? He's not done much in a very long time. But
a bit like Nico Hülkenberg.
Well, front row.
What's that got to do with anything? Magnussen's at least had a podium. Magnussen had more podiums by his second weekend in Formula 1 than Nico ever has, yeah.
TVC. Hulk podium in Brazil.
You reckon when the new Haas upgrade comes in?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Jamie, once again, is living on hopium, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, we've spoken about McLaren and Oscar Piastri, haven't we? So this is going to be a horrible one, because this is going to probably be another episode of Knowing Wheel, where we talk about something that might happen and it gets confirmed before it goes out.
Yeah.
But apparently, Tsunoda is all but confirmed to be announced this weekend at re-signing for AlphaTauri.
Yes, I'm confident enough that we can say that it will happen either by the time this video comes out or by the time the weekend starts.
Have we got to do two takes of this going, we can't believe Tsunoda hasn't been re-signed by AlphaTauri yet, or Jamie, the big news coming into this weekend, Yuki Tsunoda has confirmed he has re-signed with AlphaTauri. Just edit the right one of those in.
Yeah.
I
fully believe that he will have been by the time this comes out, just because it's Japan, home race, it makes a lot of sense to announce it here. I think he deserves it. My preferred lineup for this team would be Tsunoda Lawson, but exactly. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, this obviously leads us on to our second point there, because I think, you know, Yuki's done a admirable campaign this year, hasn't he? Of course, you know, first time he's stepped up as the number one within AlphaTauri, and has led that team pretty well, you know, seeing what they've been given. I mean, AlphaTauri, of course, big upgrades coming onto the car now, so I think, you know, as we spoke about last week, you know, is there an element of Red Bull obviously looking to sell up shop? Are they now starting to give AlphaTauri all the car parts that they can? I mean, you know, potentially giving them a much quicker car towards the end of the year, that, you know, even if it just temporarily boosts the stock price of AlphaTauri, you know, if you're selling it off to an Adidas or a...
Isn't it Hugo Boss?
Hugo Boss was the other one, yeah, that apparently could be willing to buy in. You know, it's certainly, you know, a wise idea, because, of course, effectively, they are just going to be leaving free performance on the table. But obviously, we mentioned Liam Lawson, of course, this might well be his last weekend in Formula 1 for the foreseeable, because Ricciardo, allegedly, is apparently also going to get announced at some point in the near future to AlphaTauri, and that, I think, has upset both of us just a little bit, hasn't it?
A little bit. It's supposed to be a junior team, and Liam Lawson has very comfortably done enough to deserve more time. So I think it's very, very unfair on Liam Lawson to not put him in. Obviously, 13th in a horrific circumstances in Zandvoort, 11th in whatever races after that in Monza, and then 9th in Singapore. And
it's going to be 7th this weekend.
Sorry?
It's going to be 7th this weekend, then,
isn't
it?
It could be.
He keeps improving by 2.
Well, he's raced in Japan all year, so he's used to it. So, yeah, I think Liam Lawson, I've supported him a lot of his career. Somehow he's made it to Formula 1. Despite
your kiss of death, yeah.
Despite me choosing to support him in F2, which screwed over an entire campaign. But I think he absolutely deserves more time. And I do think they would put him in 2025, but that's just so far away.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Because I was just taking a moment to consider that as well, of course. You know, we're still very much on Yuki is going to go to Aston Martin. So, of course, we are expecting a few dominoes to fall, aren't we? Obviously, yeah. Alonso's going to retire. Yuki's going to go there. Of course, that's going to open up the seat for Liam Lawson. down at AlphaTauri. But it just doesn't quite make sense. As we've said, you know, that team is a junior team. Daniel Ricciardo is not a junior. Why are Red Bull seemingly so dead set on him potentially getting the call back to Red Bull when they could also be trying to get Lando Norris? You know, where do all these pieces fit together?
Yeah, yeah. I think Ricciardo's almost coming back for marketing purposes, it feels like. And I would feel sorry for Ricciardo if he had this major return and then kind of misfortune took it away from him with that broken hand. So I get why they're trying to be loyal to him a little bit more. I certainly see, you know, give it to him.
He wasn't loyal to them.
No, it's true. But that was a long time ago. And I guess they feel sorry for him now because he's had a pretty rough time since leaving. But I think, like, putting Ricciardo back in whenever he's fit for the rest of the races makes a lot of sense. And then kind of just weigh up which of Ricciardo and Lawson you want to choose for 24. I think that would be the right way to go about it. Because, say, so Lawson's probably good. Well, he's definitely going to race in Japan. Ricciardo probably comes back in for Qatar and then the rest of the races after that.
And Lawson will want to finish Super Formula, which I,
yeah.
I can't remember.
No, he
clashes.
Can. It doesn't clash. So
it
he's racing Suzuka this weekend in F1, and then Suzuka the following weekend, and the following weekend again in Super Formula. So he's going to just batter everyone now he's driven an F1 car around there. So,
you've just jinxed him, you know that, right? if you're betting, now bet on Liam Lawson losing the Super Formula title, because Jamie
said definitely.
That.
Definitely. But I think, for instance, imagine a circumstance where Tsunoda handedly beats Ricciardo for the next six races towards the end of the season, or however many it is. I think it's five or six. Would you still keep Ricciardo for 24? Just because Lawson has already shown that he's pretty much a match for Tsunoda.
I mean, this then goes into the other thing, doesn't it? Of course, you know, it depends on the Honda politics still within that team. You know, it's highly likely, unless... I'm sure Sonoda's had conversations of, well, I'm going to be going to Aston Martin when they go there, unless I'm in a Red Bull. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we think Yuki's done all right this year. But surely Red Bull are going, yeah, but why are we going to put you in a Red Bull? You know, we've got Max. We've got the potential of Ricciardo. Which, now I think about it more and more, just makes me wonder whether they're pretty much desperate to get him back in the car because they know they can make more money on hat sales than they can pay him in that AlphaTauri. Because let's be fair, I can't imagine he's on a lot of money.
No, I doubt it.
Obviously, he was on mega money just a couple of years ago, but I can't imagine he's on much down at AlphaTauri.
And I'd imagine it won't have changed, like, from what he was on as a third driver to what he's on now.
No.
It'd be a couple of million.
It is really, I mean, which obviously, again, in the real world is a ridiculous amount of money to be on a couple of million.
Especially tax-free in Monaco.
Exactly. But of course, you know, Tsunoda's on a lot less than that. You know, Tsunoda's apparently always been pretty much on the lowest salary of anyone, you know, with the exception of Logan Sargeant, I would have thought, this year. You know, is it time for Red Bull to kind of accept that Tsunoda's going, but how do they kind of get all their ducks in a row? It still seems like there's too many drivers looking at the wrong seats inside the Red Bull camp.
Yeah, it's true. And you've got three to try and fit into two. And I just think you've got to cut your losses.
But potential Lando Norris as well, isn't it?
Yeah, then it makes it six into four, doesn't
it? Six into four, yeah.
Yeah. And only one of them is absolutely nailed, you would say, in Max Verstappen. So.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, Verstappen is the only one that can sit back and relax.
Yeah, yeah, but we shall see. I'd like to see Liam Lawson back on the grid in 2024.
So would I.
I'm not optimistic.
So 2024, then, we're saying our ideal but fairly sensible lineups would be Verstappen, Perez, Lawson, Tsunoda.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems.
Yeah, but it won't happen because Helmut Marko. So.
Well, hopefully Red Bull get rid of him soon. At least we can only hope.
Well, Lawson's not from Europe, so he probably just has a vendetta against him.
Well, he probably thinks he's South American as well, doesn't he? He just assumes everyone he doesn't know where they're from is South American.
Yeah. But Ricciardo is from Europe because he's been there 10 years. So.
Exactly. And his name is Ricciardo, so he must be Italian.
Yeah.
The helmet, Daniel? I would have thought. Daniel Ricciardo. Speaking of the Americas, though, Jamie, we're going to head a bit north of South America, into North America, and obviously one of their two drivers on the current Formula One grid. Yes, I will take a round of applause. for that segue. Lance Stroll, of course, only a little bit of news. Confirmed to obviously be back this weekend, isn't he?
Yes, after a lot of speculation by a lot of Sebastian Vettel stans on Twitter. Yeah. That maybe, because he crashed, he wouldn't race. But, you know, it's got to be a pretty bad crash to not race the following week. And
look at Ricciardo.
Yeah, I suppose. But Stroll is clever enough to take his hands off the wheel. So, yeah. And he's testing the limits, I saw. He's very, very committed to the team because he's driving fast enough to crash.
I mean, my crack, he's talking out of, you know where.
Yes.
That statement. It just is so... It's almost cult-like, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, who does he think he's kidding? That Stroll isn't just there because his dad owns the team.
Yeah, he's such a confusing little... I mean, it's not confusing, but it is all at the same time. It goes everything you want to believe in Formula One, doesn't it? But, you know, on the contrary to that, you know, we're happy that Stroll is race-ready once again.
Ready to beat Alonso this weekend.
Exactly. But it would have been interesting, wouldn't it, had Seb come in? Because it probably would have given a lot of people the rough idea of how much better Alonso is than Seb. And of course, you know, you would have had the excuse that Seb isn't race ready. But did you see this as well? He had an interesting interview last week.
About returning?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, please don't.
Could Audi, you know, for one season?
I mean, part of it would be nice for sentimentality, but Seb is well past it. Some drivers just deteriorate, and some drivers don't.
Seb, we would argue, has probably had one of the weirdest careers for a world champion. You know, you've probably got him, Damon Hill,
especially a multiple world champion,
Jacques Villeneuve, that all have just had bizarre Formula One careers of, you know, being absolutely on top of the world. People looking at you, well, maybe not Damon Hill so much, but people looking at you going, you know, how are we ever going to beat this guy? To suddenly, you know, Stroll wasn't far away from him on a lot of occasions.
Not at all.
Alonso has shown to people again just how mid Lance Stroll is in a way that Sebastian Vettel couldn't.
Yeah, and I do think if Seb was to return in an Audi alongside, I don't know, a Carlos Sainz, for instance.
Oh, no, let's say Mick Schumacher. Come on, Jamie, we've got to appeal to the stands.
Oh, dear. I mean, Sainz would batter Seb these days. Easy. Yeah, and I hate
depends
to say
because
Seb's
Sainz.
A nice guy.
Yeah. Because Carlos can be pretty bipolar, can't he, in a Formula One car as well, on occasion.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, but I think Seb is too busy building B hotels in Suzuka this weekend, so won't be driving the car, sadly. But yeah, he's doing his stuff, doing what he cares about more than driving these days. So, fair play.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite cool, isn't it, obviously, what they're doing at Suzuka. Of course, you know, quite funny that media hyped it up as, like, this big Sebastian Vettel announcement at the Japanese Grand Prix, and all it is he's put some beehives in on the outside of Turn 2. But, of course, you know, they're changing the curbing there. It's going to be yellow and black curbing, of course, to raise awareness for the bees. Have you ever seen, sorry, on a slight ramble, have you ever seen Japanese hornets?
No.
They're mad.
Yeah.
There's a video, I think, on YouTube somewhere of, I think it's 10 Japanese hornets going into a hive.
Huge.
A hive of 1,000 European bees, and they basically just dismember them one by one.
Wow.
Which is madness. Which is not what you'd expect on a Formula One podcast, just to be talking about Japanese hornets, but, you know, there we are. And there's also going to be a little logo, isn't there, on the track of a bee as well, which, to us, looked like Benson and Hedges' undercover marking, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan's back.
And very nicely as well, the football team I support are known as the Bees. So shout out to Barnett.
Gotta get that
in off.
There.
I'm off to York on Tuesday night, so I'll be raising awareness for the Bees too.
There you go. if you want to get a Jamie183 signature, get yourself over to York Football Club Tuesday night. Jamie183 is going to be doing signings with the club.
Yeah.
There. Get it?
I got what you did.
Thank you.
That was a buzzing joke.
That was absolutely, wasn't it? That is horrendous. That might be the worst 30 seconds of podcasting we've ever done.
Everyone's now switched off. So.
Yeah. And because they've all switched off, Jamie, I'm going to bring on your quiz for the week.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. You've hinted to me earlier that this quiz isn't a normal quiz.
Yeah.
So I'm slightly concerned.
Which is great, because it's quite a normal quiz, and I just wanted to get in your head.
Oh, great. Okay.
Pretty simple, Jamie. You have got to go from 2022 backwards, naming me.
Oh, you love these ones.
I do love these ones. Naming me every pole sitter for the Japanese Grand Prix.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, I thought I'd twist it up just a little bit.
I'm going to do so badly on this.
Yep, that's what I was hoping. I got a couple of interesting stats as you as well after this.
I don't even know if I know last year's one.
Well, as soon as you get one wrong, it's over. This might be the worst quiz we ever do.
Well, it was either Leclerc or Verstappen. Oh, dear. I think it was Verstappen.
Thank goodness for that. We've got one on the board.
21. Did they race in 21?
No.
They didn't race in 20 either.
Nope.
2019, it was Seb.
Yep, I believe it was his last ever pole in Formula One.
I think so. Although Ferrari were quick in quali, weren't they? In the end of 2019.
But they fell off after this when they went to COTA, didn't they?
Oh,
that's
yeah,
when
true.
The new directive came in. Which definitely wasn't that they had a legal engine for people that believe they didn't somehow.
18. This is really... Yeah, bad for me. Seb got the spark plug. Oh, was that the year before, wasn't it?
That was the year before.
I mean, it was probably... I'm just going to stab in the dark, so it's Hamilton.
Yep.
17 was also Hamilton.
Correct.
These are complete guesses, I'm not going to lie.
I mean, it's impressive. You've got 4.
16... Nico Rosberg, I know that one because
I knew you'd know that one.
He stopped cycling over summer and then got pole by a couple of hundredths, and it was because he lost his leg muscle in the summer.
Yeah, he had weak legs.
But it went in the title. So 2015, when did Lewis win the title? No, I'm going to say Rosberg because Lewis binned him off at turn one like a snake. 14. Was Rosberg.
Correct. This is very impressive.
It's just Rosberg's a goat, so I know everything about him. 2013, Romain Grosjean almost made this race an absolute thriller. Well, he did. It would have been... Ooh, hang on. I think it was Mark Webber.
Correct. I honestly thought you'd trip up on that one. He's the last ever pole position, I believe.
Wow. 2012... Seb won in a dominant fashion. I would say he got pole as well.
He did.
11 equally, it was Seb. And then he snaked Button before turn one.
Well, he snaked Button on the run to the line, didn't he, in qualifying?
Yeah.
Joint closest Japanese qualifying.
Was
session.
It Seb?
9
Am I right?
Thousandths of a second, yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. 2010.
I tell you what, this has already gone much better than I thought.
I didn't think I'd get this far. 2010. I mean, Seb won the race. Did he get pole position? He probably did.
Correct.
09. I think it was Vettel again.
Correct.
08. Did they race at Suzuka in 08?
They raced at Fuji. Still the Japanese Grand Prix,
though. Oh, okay. This is the one where Massa and Hamilton took each other out quite a lot. I would go for Hamilton pole position.
Correct.
Just because he should have won the title that race, and then he was an absolute fraud for the last three. No, that was 07. Sorry.
He still got pole in 08.
He got pole in 08, yeah. I forgot he won the title in 08. You know what, 07, 08 are two of the most similar years that are very, like, nothing changed at the front. So
yeah,
it's quite
a bit bizarre, wasn't it? Considering considering traction control was banned as well.
Yeah, 07 was also at Fuji, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think it was Lewis Hamilton again.
It was, correct.
06, I've literally just watched this on season review, so I should get this one right. Felipe Massa.
Correct.
Oh, 05.
Better than I thought.
Hang on. Was it Fizzy? It was Fizzy or a Toyota. 05. I think it was Fizzy.
Oh, incorrect, I'm afraid.
Oh, was it a Toyota? Who was it?
It was a Toyota.
Trulli?
Nope.
Schumacher?
Ralph? It was Ralph Schumacher.
Wow, that's annoying. I know Fizzy should have won that race. That's annoying.
That's good going there. Fair play to you, Jamie.
I wouldn't have got... I would have just, after that, I was guessing Schumacher for at least five.
Yeah, to be fair, well, Barrichello got 03, but yeah, Schumacher then had every pole back to 98.
Well, there you go. I bet you weren't expecting that.
No, that was much better than we ever expected. How many points was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. That's good going, my friend.
There you go. Well, let us know how you did if you played along.
Say, a couple of other interesting facts for you. Only twice at the Japanese Grand Prix has the driver on pole, when they finished the race, have they not finished on the podium?
Wow.
That
so
was
pole this weekend. Is going
to
finish
likely to be on the podium. That was Hamilton in 2008, finished 12th. And Ralph Schumacher in 05 finished 8th. You had a few DNFs and disqualifications a bit earlier on in Formula 1. But yeah, anyone since Suzuka's return that's taken pole has then finished on the podium. Often it's been first, a few times second, and Sebastian Vettel third in 2011.
There you go.
Spot on.
Won the title though, didn't he? So.
He did. Predictions then, Jamie.
Someone's tired. It got bored of me answering all those questions.
I certainly did. I thought you'd get none.
I almost got none. predictions.
Actually, it's my go first, isn't it? Because I'm still behind.
Yeah, it is.
What are the scores on the doors?
I'm two ahead. I think it's 46 to 44.
Right. Do we believe that the Red Bull resurgence...
48, 46.
I think we're going to see a Red Bull resurgence this weekend.
That's a bold prediction.
It is a bold prediction. I'm going to say Verstappen. Going to say Verstappen win. Well, back to normal service has resumed. P2. I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton. It's bold. Is it going to be beautiful? Probably not. P3. I'm going to say Lando Norris.
Okay. I was trying to find the betting odds real quick.
Oh, why do you keep using betting odds?
It works.
You're an avid gambler.
I will go Max Verstappen.
Yep, same as me.
Pole position. I will go Max Verstappen race win.
Yep, same as me.
I will go Checo Perez in P2.
Okay, pretty basic.
And I will go... I might just cover you off and go Norris. That'd be quite boring, wouldn't it? Yeah,
it would
Lando
be incredibly
Norris.
Boring. You boring, boring man. I was also thinking as well, because there's, 8 or 10 points available for a week, or 12 sometimes now, isn't it? Because we do both polls. The fact that we're, 16, 17 races in, and neither of us have even broken 50 points yet. I mean, you can basically just get that by betting max win, max pole every week.
How would it... So what's 48 divided by...
16 is 3.
Yeah, it's 3. That's awful. I was averaging more than that last year.
We have done awfully last year. Although, to be fair, I believe, looking at it, I am 1 point behind my total score last year.
Yeah, you really believed in the Ferrari a lot last year, didn't you?
So. I just lived on hopium. It's what I do, as I apparently am doing again this year. But there we go then, Jamie. If we've got anything else to add, I know we've got to do our quick podcast PSA, but before I dive into that, have we got anything else to mention? Apart from obviously your signing, are you releasing a new book as well? York Football Club?
I mean, we'll see. I've got nothing more to add, just that F1 have tweeted all the drivers by Buzzin' Corner. So, nice. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for watching. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure, not only, actually, Jamie, how many subs are you up to?
I'm still not the same. No one's unsubbing.
So what, you on 538?
Let's have a look. 541.
Oh, I feel like that has gone down.
I'm in the green. I've got more views than usual in the last 28 days.
Oh, wow. How many is that? 4?
76.
Fair play to you.
I don't know why.
We're up to 220. So nice. We're 321 away. We're getting there. Slowly but surely. But of course, yeah, if you are watching this on my main YouTube channel, we forgot to mention this in the intro, please do sub to the Knowing Wheel official YouTube channel down in the description below, because of course from 2024 the podcast will be going live exclusively over there instead. But yeah, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back actually it's going to be a slightly later episode next week, Jamie. I forgot to mention to you, because I'm actually away at the start
of the
week.
Where can we find you if you want to get a signing?
You can get a signing down in Cornwall somewhere.
Lovely.
So yeah, thank you all so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with a Japanese Grand Prix review.